Talofalava, you're listening to Dateline from RNZ Pacific, Loingoa Okoroi Hawkins. Coming up...
Law and order in Bougainville is getting worse, particularly how we women and mothers see it.
A woman's advocate in Bougainville is calling for action over sorcery-related violence.
We're selling to the tourists all the time, whether it's the cafes and in the resorts. So, yeah, hugely affected us.
Fiji businesses are struggling to recover after harsh impacts from COVID-19. And
not only from a financial point of view of money in the bank, but also the economy has been shattered by COVID-19.
Debt may force the Norfolk Island Council to shut down. There are concerns in Bougainville that police are not doing enough to end violence that is blamed on sorcery. In the most recent attack in Barna District in South Bougainville, two men were hacked to death and several people made homeless after their homes were burnt down. Members of a rival clan were behind the attack, accusing the two men of having used sorcery against them. The director of the Leitana Nihan Women's Development Agency, Helen Hakina, told Don Wiseman police are not doing enough to overcome the sorcery violence.
It's a monthly reoccurrence of happenings that are happening around here in Bougainville and in Buka now, particularly at this time. It's happening almost monthly, but people seem to be normalizing the situation. There are suspects, there are rumors, and there are known cases, but nobody seems to be taking a lead into making sure that these people are arrested, and it concerns us very much because it's causing a lot of insecurity for us women, particularly when we go about our daily chores, like going to the gardens or going to the markets or fishing. All these places are risky places for us now.
What is the general mood within the community as a result of these attacks?
The general mood is people do not want this to be happening. They want the police to be upfront, you know, in going about their cases to go and arrest perpetrators like that so that the community can be at peace and people can feel secure. But at the moment, nothing is being done. We hear when things like that happen daily, they come up, but then it just dies down. We don't hear about cases anymore from the police. So the general mood is people want justice to prevail, justice to happen, but nothing like that is happening.
Both the police commissioner and the new president have talked a lot in recent weeks about the state of law and order and law and order issues in Bougainville. Are they getting worse?
Law and order in Bougainville is getting worse, particularly how we women and mothers see it. It's getting worse because gender-based violence is occurring and nothing is being done about it. There are roadblocks in Bougainville. Things have been done about it, but it's coming up. Every time the police go, when they return, roadblocks happen again. So general law and order problems and issues here in Bougainville, it's getting worse. It's occurring daily, and there doesn't seem to be any quick moves happening around here. Even though the president talks about it, it seems that people are not listening, but it seems that we need a strong law and order, a police service, and at the same time, the community should be very supportive of the police in making sure that they inform the police about what is happening in the community. But like as it is, people withhold a lot of information as well from the police. That is why the police are not moving swiftly to arrest the perpetrators.
Helen Hakina of the Bougainville Leitana Nihan Women's Development Agency. Fiji businesses are hoping an Auckland food show can be a step in recovering from the devastating impact brought about by April's Cyclone Harold and the COVID-19 pandemic. Disruptions to global supply chains from border closures has meant importers, including in New Zealand, are looking to expand their networks beyond the usual Southeast Asia chains. Sarah Jane Hopgood visited the food show in Auckland, where Fijian businesses embrace the opportunity to showcase their products given the tough times.
Fiji has had a challenging year with the lack of tourism activity due to COVID adversely impacting the economy. Fiji-based coffee company Bula Coffee is struggling, and staff member Rachel Wood says it's because tourists are the main customers.
Tourism is their main source of income, and even with our coffee, our biggest... like, we're selling to the tourists all the time, whether it's the cafes and in the resorts. So, yeah, hugely affected us. Obviously, sales are right down.
The company has seen better times, initially being set up as a sustainable business aimed at enabling development in Fiji while providing employment for local women. Ms. Wood says their network has expanded to over 38 villages from the remote highlands, where they've trained over 1,200 people to be coffee pickers.
Its whole purpose was created to help the women in the villages, people that potentially couldn't have jobs because in Fiji, a lot of the workers in the resorts and the tourism industry, and for a lot of the women, they can't leave their villages for the day to go work in their resorts. They still have to provide for their families and their villages.
It is these families that are now feeling the pinch. Another company wrestling with the current economic climate is Tavulomo Coconuts. The business started 5 years ago with the goal to re-educate New Zealanders about the varieties of cold-pressed coconut oils available in Fiji. Owner Chris Wiley says COVID-19 affected his boutique business with slow payments coming to them from clients.
From Fiji's side, it's really affected us. Slow getting paid from one client, about 9 months. Europe's, we've had a little bit more interest, but normally Paris is one of our bigger markets. That's quite slow for us right now.
Gary Pickering sees the pandemic-related struggles as an opportunity. He owns Island Style Peanut Butter, which began when his family took a holiday to Fiji. The self-proclaimed peanut butter lovers couldn't find any to their liking, so took matters into their own hands.
My sister says, hey, there's someone selling peanuts on the side of the road. So we pulled over, bought some peanuts, and we took it back to her house and roasted it with some Fijian coconut oil that she had at home, and then made peanut butter, and it was so good.
Mr. Pickering says after 2 years, his family will now move to Fiji from Tauranga to start production there.
Myself, I've lost my job through COVID-19. I was in the tourism industry. You know, we've looked at it as a blessing, as it's really focused us on this, on our peanut butter business, and given us this really good focus and plan to get our family and our business back to Fiji, where I think it'll be successful and we can create some jobs.
Panpack, one of the leading importers and distributors of Fijian products in New Zealand, is trying to ride out the economic storm. They distribute products such as Fiji sugar, bongo snacks, and Fijians' favourite alcohol beverages. General Manager Rajiv Prasad says COVID-19 affected their supply chain.
It was a roller coaster for us in terms of supply chain, basically, because most of the products that we, the raw materials we import, are from overseas, Asian countries. So it was a challenge for us in supply chain. But as far as the business here in New Zealand, we were not pretty much impacted by the COVID situation. But yeah, we were out of stock on most of our common range.
Manager of Trade and Investment New Zealand, Peter Rudd, says this year has taught valuable lessons for Fijian businesses, and he's confident they'll bounce back.
A lot of people have lost jobs, and you know, that's a challenge. And people say, well, they've gone back to the roots, so they're planting the veggie patch, they're going fishing, doing these other things, and getting back to basics. But at the end of the day, Fijians and Pacific people are very resilient. They know how to manage cyclone events and these sorts of things.
This will be the second time that the Fiji Trade Commission to New Zealand has participated at the food show in Auckland, playing a pivotal role in building and maintaining trade relations between both countries. This is Sarah Jane Hopgood.
The Norfolk Island Regional Council is likely to fail without a major cash injection from the Australian government. That's the word from one of the council members, Lionel Snell. He told Don Wiseman that it is facing huge debts and could be forced to shut down within weeks.
The North Island Regional Council, regrettably, Don, is in extreme financial economic difficulties, not only from a financial point of view of money in the bank, but also the economy has been shattered by COVID-19 and the loss of tourism to Norfolk Island, resulting in such a situation that without a bailout from the Australian government within the next 2 months, also, quite substantial bailout, I might say, the Norfolk Island Regional Council will probably have to close its doors.
How much of a debt are we looking at here?
We need at least $7 million to continue functioning. That's the minimum benchmark that's required under our operative agreement under the New South Wales Local Government Act. So we're going to need that, plus probably another $3 million to tide us over. and we would need that. We would need $10 million virtually within the next 6 weeks.
How did you get to such a point?
Regrettably, there have been some poor decisions made in the last 4 years. Things like the upgrading of the Norfolk Island Airport to a standard costing many millions of dollars, principally funded by the Australian government, but some additional costs were imposed on the council of $7 million, and there were other areas where consultancy fees and probably could have been handled better of contracts that we issued, etc. So we thought we could handle all our commitments if tourism had continued. If COVID hadn't come in March, we probably could have. We were going to borrow from one of our internal government business enterprises like the airport operation funded by tourism to cover some of the other outstanding commitments that we had made. Regrettably, revenue from tourism has dropped by well over $1 million a month.
Some of these things, such as the airport upgrade, this was a scheme, wasn't it, that came from the Canberra-appointed administrator. Isn't it the responsibility of Canberra to take care of all of those sorts of costs if they want to do that sort of thing?
With due respect, yes. Canberra, the Commonwealth Government did pay for the majority of the upgrading of the airport, which was necessary to continue international flights into Norfolk Island. It had to be up to a certain standard. And we were warned about this several years ago. And the Australian government approved a loan of $43 million to upgrade the Norfolk Island airport. There were other additional costs that we had to meet, such as biosecurity costs for the importation of the metals, the gravel used for the upgrading, which we didn't want to happen. We wanted them to open a quarry here, and there were other expenses as well. So we were out of pocket. We had to take a loan out against one of our government business enterprises, such as the airport, to cover those costs. And when tourism went down in March, we lost that income, so we couldn't cover the costs of it.
All right. So this money, what indication have you had from Canberra that you'll get it?
Regrettably, none. We've had no strong indication from Canberra at all. Well, we've had no indication from Canberra at all that we will get any financial assistance to cover us over this period. So really, the Norfolk Island Regional Council is hanging by a thread at the very moment, and we possibly could see us closing the doors within the next 2 months, in which case the council will come under receivership and a probable administrator will be appointed and the council itself will be dissolved and it will be under receivership. We're hoping that it doesn't. We're hoping that the Australian government will come to the party and assist us with a financial stimulus package to cover us for the foreseeable future anyway, until tourism picks up again and we're able to continue as normal.
The regional council elections were meant to be held, I think, initially in October or then this month, and they may never happen.
That's correct. We commissioned several months ago the Commonwealth to supply us with reports on the governance situation on Norfolk and also the financial economic viability of the council. And we commissioned that back in July. We were hoping to have the reports in October before the council elections. We never got those reports. We've only just had the final reports issued to us. Those final reports, called the Next Year Report and the Grassroots Connection Governance Report, is quite scathing and have indicated that there have been anomalies and lack of proper planning, both in management control, governance control, and also financial control. And it will depend very much on how the Australian government will react to those two reports.
That was Norfolk Island's councillor, Lyle Snell, wrapping up today's program. You can get this or any of our other editions of Dateline from your go-to podcast platform. There are also more Pacific News current affairs and features on our website, rnzi.com. Tofa.